Today on Real Radio.
I get up in the morning and I want to save the world, but what do I wind up doing? Goofing up. I dedicate a moment to prayer. Oh, Lord, I just want to pray. What do I think? I think about, oh, man, I need to change the oil in the lawnmower. How important is that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Jesus said that the world would be able to identify his followers by one obvious attribute. You know what that is? Our love for one another. Doesn't that sound good? And the Apostle John, of all people, had a profound grasp of this concept, as we see in his writings, including what we're going to look at today. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in his look at the opening paragraphs of 1 John chapter 5. It's a lesson called Love, Honor, and Obey.
When the scripture says that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, that is the word genuine, true faith. Listen, that leads to conversion. Some people call it saving faith. The person who believes that Jesus is the Christ. You see, people, there are many people, as we touched on Sunday and even last week, many people believe that Jesus is a Christ. You know, on channel, I think it's 58, this cable thing, I was doing some channel surfing, and there's that guy. And he's sitting there, he's sitting on a rock, and he's got his legs folded, and he's talking. And he said right there, right on his program, Jesus is one of many ways. That's straight from the scriptures, tell us, straight from hell. That's doctrines of demons. And you know, I'm listening to the guy because he sounded kind of cute there for a minute. And I said, that's it. False doctrine. Listen, he does not believe that Jesus is the Christ. He believes in Jesus to be one of the many. What do you believe? Well, you know, I think Jesus was a pretty big heavy hitter, you know? You know, like Gandhi and Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha, there's some pretty big people in there, you know? Listen, if any of those people died not believing that Jesus is the Christ, as David shared about Arizona tonight, it's hotter there than Arizona, where they're at. You say, how can you say that? The Bible says that. Jesus says, I am the way, definite article, not in the English, the truth, the life. There is no life, there is no truth, there is no way outside of him. I know that's narrow. If you sent your son from heaven to earth and died on the cross, and he paid the debt for sin, I think you would be pretty narrow too about that because it cost you so much. Can you imagine God sending his son to be murdered on the cross and then say, well, I know my son was murdered, but why don't y'all just make up your own way? I like what Warren Wiersbe says. Warren Wiersbe says, all roads lead to God. You know, that's absolutely true. All roads lead to God, but only one road leads to heaven. The Bible says all of mankind will stand before God in the end. All roads do lead to God, but one road leads to heaven, and that's through Jesus. I know it's narrow, but God made the rule book that way, and he loves us, and the price of his son was at a great cost. Genuine, true faith that leads to conversion, which, by the way, results in a transformed life. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Then you know what? 2 Corinthians 5:16. And 17 belongs to you. It says, therefore, from now on, Paul says, we regard no one according to the flesh. Paul says, I don't know anybody anymore after the flesh. It's not important to know them after the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Isn't that great? Isn't it awesome we know each other in this room in the Christ context of our lives? There's ex-arrogant men in here, ex-arrogant women. There's ex-prostitutes. There's an ex-murderer in here. Where? I'm not going to tell you. But you could be sitting next to him right in here now. But he's been transformed. think of that? It's amazing. It's awesome. All because Jesus is the Christ. The conversion that leads to transformation results in love. A changed life. You know, Jesus talked about the changed life like being the gospel being wine and our lives being wineskins. And in Matthew 9:17, he said this, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Isn't that great? He's talking about transformation. You don't pour new wine into an old wineskin. You seal it up, and I tell you, that's that new wine is grape juice. You know that. It's just grape juice. But it begins to sit there, and it begins to ferment, starts to cook. And that old wineskin's tough and rigid and just, it's already set. But the new gases and the new energy of that brand new wine is fermenting and boiling on the inside and chemically cooking off, and it's going to explode that wineskin. It's going to blow it up. What an awesome picture of transformation. God doesn't save. He doesn't send his gospel into some old, beat up way of thinking and way of living. He sends his gospel into a life that says, I repent. That means metanoia. The word in Greek metanoia means to change your mind. I've changed my mind. God says, hot diggity dog, pour in the new wine into that brand new wineskin right now. Well, you look the same on the outside, but the inside, your mind is all being renewed by the power of God. That new wine, the gospel goes into your life, and it's contained now in new wineskins. And with that new wine and a new wineskin, God speaks of a transformed life, and we can change the world through Jesus Christ. Conversion. It says that everyone who loves him who begot, verse 1, also loves him who is begotten of him. Again, that we love the brethren. That's pretty simple. The second thing that we see tonight is found in verse 2. We will keep his commandments. We'll keep his commandments. By this we know that we love the children of God. Oh, how do we know? How do you know if you're a Christian? Well, this is how you'll know. You'll love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So are you talking about the Big Ten or what? Half of them? No, I'm not talking about the Big Ten. There's one way to keep the Big Ten, by keeping one, and that's loving one another. In John 13:34, the scripture says, Jesus speaking, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Do you realize John 13:34? Honestly, I believe this. Honestly, if we took John 13:34 and memorized it, and preached on it for the next 200 to 300 years, every Sunday, every Wednesday, that would be enough for you and I to handle for the rest of our lives. Do we need to, I'm going to go to a conference. For what? Oh, we're going to go to a seminar. Why? Just get past John 13:34. We need to have a John 13:34 conference for the rest of our lives. Love one another. When's the last time you saw a conference? The Fulfill the Ten Commandments conference. Oh, you're not going to see it. Sadly, you're not going to see, let's hit the number one conference. Love one another as Jesus has loved us. You see, this is impossible to do without the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, it will happen. It will happen, guaranteed. And it's happening. It's happening in your life. It's happening here in this church, and I praise God for that. By the way, this is the fourth and final time John says, by this you know, or by this we know. He told us in 1 John 2:3 that by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandment. It's proof of the believer that you have a passion to keep his commandments. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know, or by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. In 1 John 3:19 to 21, he says, and by this we know that we are of the truth, and that shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 21, for we have this confidence toward God, boldness. By this we know God. If you have boldness in the Lord and confidence in your position in him, you know the Lord. If you're willing to lay down your life for your brothers or for your sisters, you know the Lord. If you're desiring to keep his commandments, you know the Lord. Remember, you guys, there was a day that the second chapter of the book of Ephesians warns us about. There was a day that you and I lived for one reason and one reason only. You know what that reason was? Yeah, me. Lived for self. And the scripture says back then we were the sons of disobedience, that we were being led about by the prince of the power of the air who works in the sons of disobedience, Satan. Well, I never served Satan. Yeah, you did. Until you came to Jesus, you were Satan's little servant. We all were. The people who serve, in my opinion, who serve Satan the most effectively are the people who don't believe that Satan exists. That's perfect dupery. Oh, I don't believe Satan's real. Boy, he's got you really bound. But until we come to Jesus, no matter how moral we are, we're serving the enemy. But praise the Lord. He brings us into his kingdom, into his family. The third thing in verse 3, his commandments become our pleasure. The believer's love, we will love other Christians, we'll desire to keep his commandments. And thirdly, in verse 3, his commandments become a pleasure to us. This is a part of the Christian maturity, by the way. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Some of your Bibles say grievous. That's a great word. It's not a, oh, bummer. Oh, what? I've got a what? Man, this Christian thing is a bunch of no's and do-nots and thou shalt not. No. Go home. Not really, but go home. And I don't mean that part. You can go anytime you want, but I'm thinking ahead here. Turn on your blender and put your hand down that thing. So I wouldn't do that. What do you think, I'm a fool? Well, you'd be a fool if you put your hand down there. So on the blender, the manufacturer says, don't put your hand in here. Well, who are they to tell me what to do? I'm the captain of my own ship. Nobody tells me what to do. I find that highly offensive. Besides, it's pretty narrow. I'm going to plug that baby in, and I'm going to put it on high. I'm not going to tell me what to do. And you pull your hand out, and it looks like spaghetti. Whose fault is it? Then you're at the hospital, and they got to do reconstructive surgery. You go through all the pain, all the therapy. Why? Because you didn't listen to the manufacturer's instructions. God says, don't do this. Do you think he paces up there thinking, what thing can I think of to really tick them off? No, he says, listen, we got to get this message to them so their life will be blessed. So they don't make the mistakes that they're prone to, because inside of them dwells original sin, that they have a tendency to run right to the cliff and look both ways and jump right off the edge. That's the way humans are. You think, oh, I don't agree with that. You have young children, they'll straighten you out on that belief. Well, you say, don't go in the street. What do? They go right out there, right on the street. And then they look back at you and see what they're going to do. And then they could get hit. Mommy! You should have listened. God says, don't do this, this, and the other. But I tell you, do this, and you shall live. God loves you. And he instructs you. And his commandments are pleasurable. As you grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus, you begin to become more affectionately in tune with his commands, so that when God says, no, but God, I want to do this thing, please. Everybody's doing this thing. Everybody's got a ticket, or everybody's got the thing, and I got it. Please, God, you've got to let me do this thing. And he says, no. When you're mature in Jesus, you'll realize, okay, he just said no for a grand and great purpose that's better than anything I can foresee, and he understands very well, and so I'm going to go with that. Father knows best. And rest. Man, his commandments become a pleasure. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. They're not a stone around your neck. They're a wonderful thing. James tells us this. In James 1:27, he says, pure and undefiled religion before God, the Father, is this. Number one, to visit the orphans. What? To visit? Let the orphans visit themselves. Then that's not pure religion, friend. God says, visit the orphans. Have you ever visited orphans? The problem with visiting orphans is that you have to leave the building without them. Have you ever visited orphans? You're trying to figure out how to stuff as many in your pocket as you can to carry them out. Have you ever visited orphans? You start figuring out how much money you have to see if you can cash some things in so you can buy a few of them out of their orphanage to bring home. That's what Amy's doing in Romania, ministering to the orphans. And now she's working on getting accredited to get those Romanian orphans here. Many of us have been together. Hundreds of us from this church have been to orphanages throughout Moscow and St. Petersburg, Russia. What do you want to do? You cry. You turn around, you cry. You get back to the bus or the metro, you cry all the way back. Especially the ones that are 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. Everybody wants the little cuddly ones, the little tiny ones. What about the older ones? And it just breaks your heart. And the thing is, you know what, man, your heart is so moved. The thing is, man, you know what? Give me the ones that nobody wants. Well, knowing James, he's not about to stop there. He says that you need to visit widows in their trouble. By the way, the word widow means women who have been abandoned by their husbands. It doesn't mean they died. It can mean that, but they've been abandoned. They are destitute. To keep oneself unspotted from the world. This is the commandment of God. So, well, that sounds pretty tough. Then you don't have much of the Spirit's control in your life, because when you begin to mature in Christ, here's one of your cries. Here's one of your prayers. Father, I know who I am. When I look at myself, I hate what I see. But I know that to you, I'm worth something immense. So I thank you for that. But Father, I am so far from knowing you, from being holy, from being godly in the example. I am so remote from being Jesus in this world that it makes me want to vomit. And it seems, Lord, after all these years, I would be more like you. And it makes me sick. And Jesus comes back and says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be filled. That's the spirit heart of the believer. Are you born again? Yeah. Well, if I'm born again, then why can't I just be perfect? Isn't that funny? The moment you're born again, you want to be perfect. But are you perfect? No, not on this side. God thinks you're perfect. That's a crack up to me, but it's what he likes. Okay, fine. I'm not going to argue with you about that. But obedience is not a burdensome thing. It's a joyful thing. It's a pleasure. His commands and the obedience to his commands become a pleasure. Paul in Romans 7 says something that's fantastic, starting at verse 19. You know it well. Paul was just an absolute genius, and some of the things he writes, as Peter said, are hard to understand. Peter said, hey, Paul's hard to understand. He's such a smarty pants. But I tell you, this part of Romans 7:19, we all get it. He says, for what I do is not the good I want to do. You ever feel like that? The evil I do not want to do, this thing I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who's doing it, but it is the sin living inside of me that does it. So, or he would say, that being the case, and I know it's real, it's experiential, I deal with it every moment of the day. Verse 21, so I find this law at work within me. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. Those of you who are Christians, you know exactly what Paul's talking about. Those of you who think that was just a really weird thing, you don't have a clue. You're lost, probably still in your sins. You don't get it. What? The Christian, though he's born again and filled with the Spirit of God and on his way to heaven, and according on God's eternal side of things, you're stamped and labeled pure and holy in God time, down here in earth time. I get up in the morning and I want to save the world, but what do I wind up doing? Goofing up. I dedicate a moment to prayer. Oh, Lord, I just want to pray. What do I think? I think about, oh, man, I need to change the oil in the lawnmower. How important is that? You bow your head to pray again. Did I lock the front door? Stupid things come up. Lord, I want to dedicate, you know, the next 20 minutes to just sitting with you. And all of a sudden, you are so antsy, you can't sit still. Or how about this? Get the family together in the living room and say, let's pray. I guarantee you it can be 3 o'clock in the morning and the doggone phone will ring. And it'd be a wrong number. You dedicate yourself and evil's present. Does that mean you don't dedicate yourself? You know what you do? You absolutely dedicate more of yourself. You take sin to the wall because it's got to give up. You take sin to the wall because Paul told us in Romans 6 that sin shall not have dominion over us. That's the truth. Every time I sin, it's because I literally yield to the temptation. I feel myself getting angry, and I hear the Lord say, you're getting angry. Call upon me now. Well, Lord, that's the right thing to do. And I have this debate like you do in my head. But I really need to let them know I'm angry. And all of a sudden, I knock him off the throne of my life. I crawl up there and say, I'm in control now. And it's like a kid on a bulldozer. It's a disaster. And then all the stuff happens. I've ruined this, run over this person and crushed that thing and all this, and there's mayhem strewn behind me. And then when I come to my senses, I've got to go back to God and say, God, I'm so sorry. And he just says, just get out of the chair. Just get out of the chair. And he turns it around and he goes back, and I got to back up and undo. There's that war within me. And yet I heard him in the very beginning. He said, don't go that way. Don't do that. Yeah, I know. It's a struggle.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the opening paragraphs of 1 John chapter 5, where the Apostle John really focuses on what he calls perfect love. The title of this lesson, Love, Honor, and Obey. Love, Honor, and Obey, a mini-series that's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that if Real Radio is a big part of your day, really helping you in your walk with God, would you let us know? Visit realradioactive.org and let Pastor Jack know. He loves hearing from listeners. Here's a word of encouragement we got from a listener in San Diego. Pastor Jack, thank you so much for the bold messages you broadcast on the radio. I look forward to listening to your message every morning on KSDW. Keep up the great work God has called you to do. May he continue to bless you and your family. Wow, thank you for that. Again, realradioactive.org. Now, while you're there, sign up for Words to the Wise. You see, Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can subscribe to and get in your email box. We get a ton of Words to the Wise signups by Real Radio listeners all the time, and they're writing in to tell us about it. You can too. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Click on the button there at the right that says devotional. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.